Hey everybody, what's going on? Happy Thursday to you and yours. Bay Ragney here with the Nashville Restaurant Review. And I have my new good friend, Big Daddy himself, Sean Porter of Daddy's Dogs, with us tonight. Before we get to talking to Sean and learning his whole story about his hot dog empire, I got to tell you about another empire coming out of the Nashville 6-1 vibe scene. They're called Bombers and Sleeves, and they are a lifestyle apparel brand, and they are dedicated to bringing the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down and wear it all on their sleeve. Bomb your boundaries at bombersandsleeves.com. That's right. Bomb your boundaries. Shop Bombers and Sleeves today, right now, tonight, tomorrow, and every day at bombersandsleeves.com. So here he is without further ado. I like to refer to him myself as truly the king of social media for Nashville restaurants, the one and only Mr. Big Daddy himself. What's going on, Dan Sean?
Hey, man. How are we? I'm good. Thank you very much for that intro. I appreciate it.
Hey, you know, I figure, you know, we've got to make this official. So here's what I'm going to do.
Yes. hang on. One sec. I'll be right back. 2 seconds.
Okay.
I had to come with you. I'm always prepared. Always prepared. Here we are.
Cheers. I got to ask, why Miller? I don't think I've drank Miller in probably 30 years.
So when we first started the shop, you know, we wanted to keep it really simple. And I'm kind of just a big stoner from Seattle or whatever. And the High Life brand kind of goes along with Daddy's Dogs and everything we do. And when we were looking at beers, I was like, how fun would it be to have a 40? I came up with the 40 Club and the 40 on Ice. And the only beer, or one of the only beers, that does 40s that's like regular beer, not like malt liquor or anything, is High Life. And so That's what we did. We chose it. And it's been ever since. And I love it. It's like my favorite of like the cheaper beers, you know.
It is truly the classic beer.
Yeah, man. Champagne of beers.
Champagne of beers. So, you know, it's funny, like, I love doing interviews, period, but when, you know, sometimes you do these and you start doing an investigation, and you, like, they're kind of, like, coming up short. You're like, how am I going to make this work? But when I'm coming up with yours, I'm like, there's so much to you and your story, I'm just like, this is going to be so much fun. So your backstory is, like, you were a tour manager for musical artists.
Yeah, so I started when I was 16, and I started touring with bands and started going all around the country, and kind of when I was like 20, got my break in the music business and started working for some American Idol people.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I launched that career, and I continued to do that, you know, for the next about 10 years or so, and bounced around band to band, worked for bands like Cage the Elephant, Matt Nathanson, Matt Carney, L. King was a big one, did the pop punk circuit and the Warp tours and, you know, the festival circuits and all that kind of stuff too. So, like I said, American Idol, all that. So it was, you know, it's a different life. It was a different life then, but yeah. It was a lot of fun. And we kind of just, you know, I just treat this like I treat a band, really. And I just advertise and do what a band would do, really. You know, it's just all I know how to do. And so, you know, it's kind of amazing how much it replicates, you know, even though it's just hot dogs.
Yeah.
It very much is like kind of, you know, it comes full circle. And a lot of the skills I gained doing that, you know, have definitely gone over into this. I never worked in a restaurant before or anything like that. So I didn't know what I was getting myself into in that regards.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah.
This will be even more interesting. So are you a musician too, or just a music lover?
No, just a music lover, and yeah, I kind of got sucked into the business side of it. Some friends of mine when I was in like high school were going on the road and needed like a merch guy and a driver, and I was like, yeah, sure. And then like that's next couple summers I kept touring, and a friend of mine had joined a band called This Providence from Seattle that had just gotten signed to Fueled by Ramen. And they were going on tour with like Paramore, and we did a bunch of stuff with Copeland and stuff like that. So, you know, I was like, well, let's go on the road. This is, you know, basically getting paid to party out here. So right. It was, you know, it was a lot of fun and, you know, learned a lot. You got to grind out there, man. So that's definitely one of the things I learned, you know, and part of kind of built what built me and built like my motivation and my just drive.
Now, you're from Seattle, but I think you're a lot younger than me, so I think you were like missed the whole like grunge explosion.
Yeah, I'm 32, so I kind of came up like, you know, it would just turn from Graceland to El Corazon when I started going to shows and doing everything there.
You're a pup, man. You're a pup.
Yeah. Yep, emo punk kid for life, dude.
Nice. So, like, how does it happen where you're doing the music thing, you're tour managing, touring for these bands, into restaurant life, hot dogs, becoming the hot dog king?
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to, you know, I've just kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit. And when I was younger, I DJed weddings and school dances and that kind of stuff. And then from there, I started a van company when I was touring with bands, and I was renting vans to bands and that kind of thing. And so I was sitting down with a friend. I broke my leg in a scooter accident. And we were just sitting smoking a J outside of a bar in Seattle. And he was just like, man, you should get into hot dogs. And I kind of like remember just being like, Daddy's Dogs has a pretty good ring to it, you know? And while I was like doing my rehab and recovering and all that kind of stuff, it just was like that little thought in the back of my mind. And, you know, you're Googling away and there's nothing else to do really. So I just started researching some stuff, and I never saw anyone doing it how I would do it. And I was, after I started recovering, I planned on moving down to Nashville just because it was more central and I was getting burned out on Seattle and stuff. And, you know, I moved down here and was just like, holy shit, like, there's no one doing anything like we're doing or like how I want to do it. Like, let me try it. And went full bore, and that was it. About 6-7 months in, I kind of realized what we had going, and you know, hung my touring hat up and was like, let's dive in, let's see what we can do, see how, you know, how big we can take it.
Now, the whole, like, so a little bit of my background, like when I was a young kid, 18, I owned a pizza shop. I'm from Philadelphia area.
Okay.
So I had a pizza shop at 18. Like, I was a musician, and I wanted to be, you know, at that time, a guy in a hair band, like Motley Crue or Guns N' Roses, et cetera. And my mom was just like, you're not meant for school. You can drop out of school. And I was delivering pizzas for a shop at the time, and I said jokingly, oh, they're selling the shop, we should buy it. And next thing I know, we're buying a freaking pizza shop.
Golly.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, it was cool, but from to the wolves, literally at 18. Long story short, the business went under, and as we were parting out the business, you know, I'm trading pizza ovens for a hot dog cart.
Okay, all right.
And I never actually started it because I was just thinking to myself, like, well, the thing was, you had to find a corner. Like, you couldn't just, like, in today's world, be like, get a food truck and bebop around, or I don't know how it works here, because I think you started with just a cart too.
Yeah, we have 6 carts.
Okay, so is it like the same way where you have to get a corner and you can't move from that corner? That's your corner, that's it.
The rules here are really sketch, and just to be frank, like the cops and like the city Codesman and everyone here don't even know them. They haven't been updated since the early 90s. So they're pretty, like, you know, defunct and out of it's kind of just like whatever the guy who walks up to you says goes. So, you know, we've just kind of posted up and done our own thing outside of trying to deal with city permits or anything like that. And, you know, partnered with bars or restaurants or different businesses to make it a little bit, you know, more of a partnership instead of just like us, like outside of the bar trying to, you know, get their clients to get money for a hot dog or whatever.
Right.
But it's, I will say it's very cutthroat. Like the game is, you know, is very, there's guys out there, like, you just don't want to like cross them, you know. It's definitely like, you know,
sure.
It's its thing.
Now, how about like, you know, you have the cart, and I think I was going through and finding some things, and it sounds like you guys were trying to do it like by day, and by day wasn't working. You flipped it around and started doing it at night, and it started to take off with it.
Yeah. So we kind of always knew we wanted to do like the late night thing. I just never saw a real, like, I never saw anyone else doing it, really, you know? And, like, when you're on the road, it's either Jimmy John's or pizza, like, usually in every place. Yeah. That's all you get. And so it's like, let's get something different out there or whatever. And so, yeah, we went in thinking night or late night, and then we started with trying to do days. It was kind of, for mine and his schedule at the time, it was a little bit easier. Mine and my business partner's schedule, I guess. And then, you know, when we kind of got our grip and figured out the process of everything, we started looking for those late night spots and kind of landed on a few, and the rest is kind of history.
Now, at any point, like when you were really like starting this early on, like, was it always just hot dogs in your mind? Did you think to yourself anything like pizza or why not burgers? Why not Daddy's Burgers? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hot dogs were definitely like the first thing in my mind because of like the ease and cost effectiveness of getting into the market. You know, you don't have to, like, burgers, you can't cook on the street. There's a bunch of rules with, like, you know, what you can and can't cook and what's got to be pre-cooked or, you know, whatever. And so hot dogs just seemed like the easiest entry point. And I've always loved food. I, like, grew up and my grandma and, like, used to give me these kids cookbooks when I was little. And, like, I'd make all these, like, oh, you know, weird omelets or whatever that, like, a kid would make in them. So I've always been intrigued by it. And at one time I thought maybe, yeah, a restaurant would be cool to open. But, you know, I never really thought. It was kind of one of those, like, sit around the table with your friends and, like, we should open a bar one day, but no one ever acts on it. It was kind of one of those thoughts. And then when we did it and it, you know, started working, it was just like, holy cow. And, you know, from where we want, or where we saw this originally going to where it is now, is like, it's crazy. You know, we thought we were just going to have one or two carts, run it out of my basement and have a couple other dudes out there hawking them on the street, and we'd be on the road with bands and living the high life. And then, you know, there's way more work that goes into it than that. And, you know, and just how the brand and how we saw it evolving changed, you know, as we went along and as, you know, we started, I think, finding our stride in things and kind of just, you know, blazing our own trail.
You mentioned omelets. Have you ever had a hot dog and egg omelet?
Oh, I've definitely done. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've pretty much put hot dogs, like, spaghetti. I've done it all.
So what was that? You know, I was thinking that too. I'm thinking to myself, like, you mentioned sitting there, like, smoking a joint with your buddy. I'm like, I picture Big Daddy and his buddies, like, sitting there smoking a couple of joints and hanging out and perfecting the whole hot dog concoction recipes that you got going on.
Oh, yeah. So when we first started, we had probably like four or five different, like, tasting sessions with, like, different groups. And, you know, I still think one of the funniest things is, you know, we had like this book of like, okay, here's all, like, me and my business partner sat down, like, how do we start a business? What do we need to do? And literally the first thing on there was like, learn to cook hot dogs. And I just still like laugh when I think about that, because it's like not hard, but it's just like, we just had no idea what we were getting ourselves into, you know. But we had like four or five of these tasting sessions and how, like, different ways to cook them, different dogs, you know, trying to find which dog we're going to use, which different recipes and all that kind of stuff. And it was a lot of fun to kind of do that. And we still do them every once in a while. We'll do them with the staff. I'll do them in my house every once in a while, have folks over, my friends and stuff, when we're trying to find new dogs of the month or, you know, changing the menu. We're getting ready to do a big menu change in April. And so we're kind of going through that process and figuring out what dogs we want to keep on the menu and what dogs we're going to, you know, bring on from that are dogs of the month and all that kind of stuff.
What's your favorite one?
Ooh, on our standard menu, like the six kind of, we call them like the six core nightly ones that we go out with. It's probably either the Big Daddy or if I'm like hungry, or the Seattle, if I'm just like, need a, you know, the Big Daddy is a commitment. Like, it gets messy. But the Seattle I can usually handle. And then if I'm at the shop, I'd usually go for a Georgia. That's one of my favorites. It's our cream cheese, peaches, jalapenos, and our secret sauce. It's a little bit sweet, a little bit spicy. It's super good. I love it.
You know, it's funny. Like, when I saw that too, I was thinking to myself, who the frick puts peaches on a hot dog?
Right? Stoners. That's who.
How about like cream cheese on a hot dog? Even like, I was,
that's a Seattle thing. That's a big Seattle thing. So like, you know, outside of all the venues there, the Showbox and the Nectar, and I'm trying to think of the other ones, Crocodile Lounge. These guys will pull up right at the end with a cart hooked up to a truck and just start dogging, and, you know, however many they can sell, and then they'll move to the next venue as like stuff gets out. But that's like the thing, is like cream cheese on a hoagie with grilled onions and then sriracha or mustard or barbecue or whatever. Sriracha was like always the classic I went to, just wasted after a show. You're like, just got done seeing Steel Panther and you're like, yeah, you know.
That's awesome. So now, you mentioned you had no prior food or restaurant experience. How soon into this did you realize, like, oh man, like, this is a lot of work. This is just making hot dogs.
Oh, I mean, I'd probably say like a weekend, you know. It was pretty dang instant. Hang on one sec. Yeah, it was pretty dang instant. Plus, our model's a little different because we're like setting a restaurant up every night. You know, it's not like you walk into the restaurant, you're like, all right, I'm cooking a pizza today. Like, here we go. You're literally out there building a restaurant from the ground up and then, you know, tearing it down at 4 o'clock in the morning,
right,
and rolling home while the sun's coming up.
And how about, like, just that with the, how many carts did you have before you opened your first location?
We had three carts when we opened the shop. And I think we got our fourth within like a month or two of being there, and just kind of built it up since then.
Wow. That's great. And you started this in what? 2015.
It's funny. I like looked back and like our first post on 2015 was National Hot Dog Day. It was a Wednesday, and I had no idea back then that it was even like a thing. And it was like Wednesday, you know, July 23rd or something like that. And I was like, holy shit. And I like looked and I was like, yep, that was National Hot Dog Day that year. And so it just happened to be like, that was the day we started.
Dude, that's like a total sign. Like,
isn't it?
That's like so meant to be. That's crazy.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty wild.
Wow. So now, I mean, for people who haven't seen it, they really have to, I haven't even been out to the shop yet to try them. I'm coming, trust me.
Yeah, get out of here.
I see the pictures. I'm just like, they look huge. Like, how do you fit it in your mouth?
You grip and rip it, baby. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, size matters, and that's kind of our motto there. But they're definitely not like what a lot of people think of, like hot dogs. A lot of people think of like, oh, AM PM hot dogs or gas station hot dogs.
Right.
These are definitely like, you know, I always laugh when someone comes up and get, oh, I'll take a chili dog and a corn dog. And I'm like, have you ever had these before, man? Like, and then they're just like, oh shit. When they get it, like, oh crap. I outdid myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. So now how about, last year, you know, world gets hit with this pandemic. Like, what were your initial thoughts? Were you like, oh shit, like I'm screwed. Might lose a business. How tough was it for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a blur, honestly. It's been pretty surreal. At the beginning of it, you know, we were kind of 2020, like we were kind of set to like make some moves, and we were like ready to possibly open a new spot in the suburbs or something. And, you know, we were just looking for opportunity. We were looking to expand. We were looking to kind of launch the rocket. The thrusters were like, you know, primed. And it was just like hitting a button. We were ready to go. And, you know, the pandemic hit and it was like, okay, well, like tighten all of our resources, keep everything, you know, is what we can do. And then it was like when everything shut down is when I kind of got really worried, like when bars closed and all that. Because, you know, our restaurants there, but not a lot of people don't realize about 80% of our revenue is in late night food or events or, you know, musicians' corners and live on the greens and all that kind of stuff that just happens in Nashville. But 80% of our money was in all that. And so the, you know, making that pivot to, okay, well, we've got a restaurant, we've kind of just treated as a commissary up until now. And it was just kind of like, you know, it just kind of was what kept everything else turning. And now we have to just double down on it to like figure out a way to, you know, a lot of people didn't even know who had been out late at night, didn't even know we had it because they've only seen us after midnight, you know?
Sure, sure.
And so, you know, it was a big, we kind of had this thing. It was like, we can sit back, we can let everybody go, and we can go back to work in the line in the window and like, you know, grind this year out, or we can kind of leave the puzzle pieces we've built for the past couple of years in place and double down on this place and try to get things going here. And so that's what we did. We, you know, we chose number B on that. And that's when I had the idea for all the first round of drive-in shows and called a lot of my old band friends up, and they were all, you know, bored and wanted to play. So we made that happen and, you know, throughout the whole summer, just kind of pounded the ground, did, you know, kind of what we do best on the grind and the guerrilla style marketing and all that kind of stuff, getting our name out and, you know, just saying yes to everything that comes in the door, really. And, you know, I don't think I'd go back and do it different. I don't think I'd, you know, change anything, but it's definitely been a, you know, interesting year for sure. But it's, you know, I've always been good with my back up against the wall, and I kind of built myself from nothing, and I've been on my own since I was 16. So it's very much like a, you know, I'm kind of used to like getting beat down and just having to crawl my way out, you know?
Right. Yeah, like when you started doing the drive-in shows last year, that's how I came across you. I was like, oh, man, this is freaking awesome what this dude is doing for, you know, not just his business, but for the music community and just everybody in general that needed that outlet, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
Now, you, again, going back to, you know, your old career as the tour manager, can you picture yourself like, where you would be now if you were still in that life? Like,
I can, and I'm really glad I'm not where I can picture myself being. You know, I think I was heading in a direction of being kind of that old, jaded, greasy fucking road dog that you just see out there, like grumpy, hates life. And that's not who I am, and that's not who I really want to be. And like, just, the music industry is a brutal one to be in. And especially the position I was in, tour manager is a very hard position. You know, it's a lot of it's a lot of really hard work for people who don't want to work hard. Yeah. And that's really frustrating. And especially now that, like, you know, I'm working and doing this on my own. I can't, like I said, I treat this like a band where now I'm the lead singer. And so if, like, I don't work hard and I'm not, like, doing anything, why should the rest of the band do anything, you know? And that's the way I have to look at it. And so having that mindset and seeing it from this angle now as, like, the artist or whatever, it would be very hard to go to work for someone that didn't have that mentality as well. And there's very few artists out there that have that mentality and have that drive to do stuff. A lot of them are too creative, and it's not to any, you know, it's just how they're wired, how they're built. And they have teams behind them that can help them. I just don't think I could be a part of that team anymore where I was working harder than the artist who I'm working for.
How about, again, with the driving concerts, like, I came across a Rolling Stone magazine did an article on you.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was wild. I was getting emails from, like, people I hadn't heard from in 10 years, my teachers, like, look at this. And I would, because it went out on, like, the Rolling Stone email blast. And I had, like, no idea it was going to be any of that. One of the gals who was supposed to play, Sarah Potenza, she had just won come off The Voice, you know, the season before or whatever. And, and had a friend at Rolling Stone and was like, I'm doing this concert. You got to do a thing with this guy, and set it up for us. And Joe, who did the article, was awesome. And they liked it, and they pushed it through to all, like, their front page of all their stuff, or not the front page, but, like, you know, one of their main stories for that time. So that was wild.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. It was really cool.
Is that something you're going to continue to do? You can keep doing the concerts this year as well, or?
We are. We're trying to figure out exactly how we're going to do them this year. You know, obviously COVID, and as stuff, you know, the belt gets loosened, we're hoping to kind of do things a little different. Our goal is eventually to just have it be an outdoor music venue and, like, you know, hold a show a month or a couple shows a month or something like that. I don't know if necessarily we have the bandwidth in-house to do all that, but, you know, we're talking with some folks in town and seeing what we can make happen, and just seeing, like, you know, if there's how we can use the space and, you know, kind of bring some fun to the neighborhood.
Right. Now, something else you guys do is you do the drive-in movies, which you did over Christmas time. Mm-hmm. How often you do, is that, like, something you do usually, or was that just Christmas time, or?
So we'd been doing, before we had built kind of the stage and done the drive-in stuff, we had done movie nights at the shop before. We had, like, a big blow-up projector screen and stuff. And so, you know, when COVID happened and the drive-ins and all that, I was like, well, you know, our shows ended in November. I was like, it's December. It's freezing. Like, no one's going to sit outside. Let's just do drive-in style movies. And so we did the holiday ones. And I think we're going to do a spring and a fall version of that, and kind of keep, you know, some of that summertime for mostly concerts and live music, if we can make that happen more.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about, going back to how I introduced you, the king of social media in Nashville, at least for restaurants. if people are not following you on Instagram, I think you're even on TikTok and Facebook.
Yeah,
what you're up to? My God, people, hit the like button, hit the follow button, because you're in for a treat, man. Who comes with all these crazy ideas?
You know, me, and we've got kind of our core team, and I'm always, like, got my ear to the ground for different ideas, and, you know, it's just kind of a team effort. A lot of, like, the bigger campaigns and stuff is just, like, it's just a snowball effect. Well, I'll say something and someone's like, what if we did that? And then I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. What if we took it this way too? And, you know, so it just kind of goes down there. We're launching one tomorrow. We're doing another one tomorrow that I'm really excited about. It's a little Titanic spoof. And
really?
it's going to be pretty funny, I think.
Now, it's funny because I keep picturing in my head, there was one I saw, I think it was, like, last summer. And I just remember scrolling, and I see you, you're, like, on a skateboard, probably drinking a beer or something. You had a drink in your hand. You're like skateboarding down the street, you know, talking about the shop. And I'm just like, this dude is like my spirit animal. I got to hang with this fucking
guy. Yeah, man. Yeah. This year I think we just brought on a media guy to help kind of, you know, there's so many platforms and there's so much different digital shit to do these days. And we, our brand is very, design centric, I can say. And I don't really know how to work outside of Microsoft Paint. And so we brought him on to kind of help me create a lot of this, these ideas I have and bring them to life. So I'm really excited for 2021 and just being able to like, just, you know, go for it this year and really like have some fun with it.
Well, at this point now, how much are you like truly in there making hot dogs? I mean, or you would just become more of the businessman and the big daddy?
I'm still dogging, baby. You know, I'm still grinding away. You know, I'm not 5 days a week or anything, but I'm still in the shop. You know, my presence is still very much there. I'm probably there six days a week at some, you know, some point throughout the day for something.
Right.
And I'm working usually 3 days like on the line. So, you know, I'm still doing it. Especially in the wintertime when our hours are kind of, you know, a little slim down and it's a little slower and we're not trying to burn as much, you know, labor costs and stuff. Like,
sure.
We, you know, still got to put that dogger hat on and make some dogs, you know.
Now, something too, I guess you just did this recently. You added alcohol to the mix. You're doing like boozy milkshakes and all.
Yeah, we've got liquor. I'm excited about this. So we partnered with Old Smoky Moonshine. And we're doing basically doing all a moonshine program with them. And so we're doing boozy shakes that we're calling Shine Your Shake. And you can put moonshine in any of your shakes. We've got a couple different options that we like suggest. An orange dreamsicle that's really good. It's like the orange creamsicle popsicles from when you were a kid. We've got a PBWNC, peanut butter whiskey and chocolate. And it tastes like a Reese's. It's delicious. And then we've got
whiskey moonshine is the best.
Oh, it's so good. And we've got an apple pie toasted crunch is what we're calling it. And it's apple pie moonshine with cinnamon toast crunch in a shake. It tastes like an apple churro. It's pretty delicious. Wow. Yeah. And then we've got our drink pouches, which is just an adult Capri Sun. And I had a few friends stop by today and they're like, these are delicious. And I'm like, we're going to get a second one. And I was like, be careful. Cause you know, they're like heavy pours and like they'll get you, man. And you can't really taste the booze too much. It just tastes like juice. So you're like, oh, this is delicious. And pretty soon you're like, oh shoot, I got a solid one going, you know, but wow. It's, you know, it's like I said, you can't have too much. You can't take it too seriously. We can't go in there and start making like old fashions and martinis. Right. So it's like, what can we do with the liquor license? And, you know, part of the reason why we got it was for some of our events and everything that we do. And so it just made sense to kind of roll it over into the shop and doing liquor there and stuff.
Now, do you do like catering events and stuff too, or?
Yeah. So we've done some, like we do weddings a lot, you know, that's a huge thing for us. Business events. We're like one of the fastest food kind of things. Like, you know, we can just churn and burn. We can do a hot dog every like 20 seconds if we're like full force. It's, you know, like per station or whatever. And wow. So we're going really quick. So we do a lot of those like corporate events where they've got like their whole team for the summer picnic or whatever. And it's just boom, 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 boom. We'll do some of those. And then we do our own events where like we did a Nashtoberfest, which is basically an all Nashville Oktoberfest that we host.
Okay.
And that's really fun. We do that usually the first weekend in October every year. And we're also doing, in the spring, we do Sylvan Park Puppy Play Day, which is like a big dog meetup at a park. And we just hot dogs and real dogs and, you know, just let them off the loose and they go crazy and drink some beers and hang out with the neighborhood.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Do you get, I mean, I'm sure you do, like you have a nice following on social media, but like when you're out and about in your normal life, do people recognize you and stop you and all?
Yeah, it's always, that's always fun. It's always like, doesn't feel surreal because I've always been with bands where that happens all the time. Right. And so now it's happening with me and I'm just like, I'm just a fucking guy. Like I don't sing songs or like entertain you. I just feed you hot dogs or whatever. But it's always pretty humbling and funny. And my girlfriend always just kind of rolls her eyes and is like, come on again. You know, like I love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like back home in Philly, you know, cheesesteaks is the big thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy who I'm friends with is like the cheesesteak king and he's like a food guy, Tony Luke Jr. And, you know, he's like that. He's like an icon in Philly and, you know, he's done like TV shows and stuff like that. So, yeah, I could totally see it. You had that personality too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll see if I land any TV shows. I keep saying I tried out for Real World a while back. I was like, I'm made for this thing. And then they didn't call me. And I was like, dang, I guess I wasn't. But Philly, do you know Govinda's on South 12th? It's like a vegan cheesesteak place.
And that's why I don't know it.
Yeah, it's unbelievably good for vegan. But like, I always just think of that place for some reason when I think of Philly. Of course, there's Pat's and Gino's and Jim's and everybody.
All the tourist thing. Yeah, the one thing I never got to do before I left, which was starting to get popular before I moved here a year and a half ago, was the Philly taco. Where what people were doing, they were going to Jim's, and then they were getting cheese stick, and they're walking down the street to Lorenzo's Pizza and getting a slice of pizza and wrapping the pizza around the cheese stick.
Golly.
Yeah.
The gluttony sounds delicious.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I love it.
So, something you're doing now, which I got to thank you. We actually were in talks a couple months ago to try to get this interview hooked up, and then it rekindled over the last week or so. So we're going to do a contest together, which I'm freaking stoked about. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
But you have you're giving away one of your daddy's date nights to one of our people on Instagram. So why don't you tell than what daddy's date night is.
Yeah. So this is we've had this idea for a couple of years and up until this year, in the wintertime, we've always closed or just been open for lunch. So we've closed at 3 PM every day. And this year we kind of pivoted and we got the tent out there and a bunch of heaters and we're like making it a vibey space and all this kind of stuff. And so I finally was like, guys, it's time to do the date night. And it's basically like, we're trying to make it the cheesiest and funniest and most romantic. Where is it? Romantic, like dinner for two we can. And so we've got like candles and roses and all this. And we're doing like a, you know, towel over the arm, weighted kind of thing, which is so different than what we normally do. We're usually walk up and window service and stuff. So I think it's just going to be something really unique and fun. And it's full four courses, including drinks. So, you know, it's only $69 normally. It's a really good deal if you're out there listening. But, yeah, I'm excited to give one away to somebody. And it'll be, you know, like I said, it's just going to be fun, unique. And it's like during all this COVID stuff, it's like, you know, it's the perfect thing to just be like, what, like, here we go. You know, it's all outdoors. It's all that kind of stuff. So it's just going to be fun, you know.
That's funny. You know, it's funny that my fiance just said to me last night, she's like, I want, because we're doing like all these like video reviews and all, we try to like be goofy and funny, you know, to make it entertaining. She's like, you know, we should do something where we get really dressed up and go somewhere that's, you know, we shouldn't be dressed up at. And I said to her, I said, we should go to Daddy's Dogs.
You should come to date night. It'd be hilarious and funny. It's going to be, we've got some other tricks and we're doing like a take home gift bag that's got some really, really funny goodies in it. So I'm excited for it. And it's just going to be, you know, it's just going to be fun. That's all I can say. And I hope that's what people leave thinking. It's like, that was fun. Like, you know, and they remember that date. Hope, and who knows, maybe we'll spark some engagements or something. I don't know.
There you go. I mean, hell, And people need to go, again, going back to social media, they need to go on and see the bachelor video that you did.
It was a fun one, man. It was a fun one.
That's funny. That's so freaking funny. So, all right. So, we're going to launch that, in a little while after we're done this, probably nine or so on Instagram. So everybody check out my Instagram. His Instagram will be tagging, and we're going to launch this. It's a 24-hour contest. So you got to see the picture we put up and see the rules and follow along, play along, and then tomorrow night we'll announce the winner. 24 hours is all you got to enter. So
24 hours.
Yeah. Cool. So tomorrow you have a Titanic video launching. You have you said you have a new menu coming up in a couple months?
Yeah, we're just adjusting kind of what we got. We're kind of making some changes and just reviewing the dogs that we have, if we want to keep them all or if we want to just add some. It's just been we've rocked the same menu for 2 years, and I feel like it's right. Kind of time to make some moves. And so,
what do you think's the craziest thing you guys have put on the hot boat?
I mean, shit, the Toronto we have right now, everyone is like, that's fucking weird. It's peanut butter, bacon, and maple syrup, and it's really, really good. If like you're willing to go out on a limb, it's sweet, and savory all at the same time. It's
in the secret offices, have you guys like tried some really weird stuff and you're like, no?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we tried some dogs that were just like, no. I tried like a Cheeto dog once, and it was, I thought it was gonna be good. I saw it on like Instagram. I was like, oh, Cheetos on a hot dog, that's cool. Like you crush them up and like use the powder. And it was not what I thought it was. And the Cheetos, like the powder got like stuck in my throat. And it was like, like you accidentally breathe it in because it's just like a dusting on top. That's always stuff you just, don't take into account every time. But yeah, man, there's some, like some people put some crazy shit on hot dogs, dude. Or just some people are just so basic. They're like, just give me cheese. You want any mustard or anything on that? Cheese. Okay.
Oh, that's funny. How about, has anybody tried, like you said, peanut butter? Has anybody tried like Nutella?
I haven't ever done a Nutella dog. No, I wanted to for a while. I wanted to try like a dessert dog and do like a fried banana in like a Nutella donut or something. Cool. That was just like my super ultimate high. Like, let's do this, man, and I haven't got around to doing it yet, but I'm not going to say no.
I think you just, the donut dog. I mean, they've started doing, bacon cheeseburgers between two glazed donuts. Why not a donut dog?
We thought about it. I think it would be volume for the thing. The hardest part for us is like, how much do we get per day? Do we get 12 of them? Do we get 24 of them? And then it's over. But that's definitely something that will probably end up becoming a dog of the month.
Dude, I can't wait to not only come out there and meet you, but eat some freaking hot dogs.
Yeah, man. It'll be excited to have you at the shop and meet you face to face and everything.
Absolutely. And have some Millworth in person.
Exactly. I haven't done damage to this.
Cool. So where should we send everybody to learn more about you? Definitely. I know Instagram, TikTok. Yep.
Daddy's Dogs Nash is kind of our everything. So we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. That's our website, daddysdogsnash.com. You can sign up for our email list there. I don't bombard people. I usually send 2 to 3 emails a month, and one of those almost has something free in it. So it's worth signing up for. And, I try not to be like too big of a pester on there. But, it's we gotta yeah, these days. What I'm saying?
Absolutely. Cool. And how about something else? And now I'm like, oh, somebody put in the comments, they heard you have a vegan dog, and I'm pretty sure you do.
We do. So you can make any dog vegetarian, and then our vegan style is bunless. Unfortunately, we had to switch buns a while back, and they went to using some dairy products in them. But yeah, any dog can be, we can make vegetarian, and then you can do a vegan option, bunless or whatever too. And I guess I have to say this. One of my guys just texted me. I can't do any interview without saying, if you get some extra time and you're bored during quarantine, I have a movie called Slow Ride Home, and it's on Amazon Prime. Go check it out. It's about me and my idiot friends riding from Florida to Seattle on scooters. And it's a fun, it's a fun watch. And yeah.
Slow Ride Home.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else you're involved in that we should know about?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I'm always scheming different stuff. All we got our beer box club is something we started during the quarantine to kind of pivot and try to do some other stuff, and it went really well. So we're gonna keep it going. So we're gonna do 4 boxes a year, and we're getting ready to launch and announce the spring one probably beginning of March or so. And it'll be like all local beers again, and you know. Great like gift or a great like date night taster. Oh, let's taste some beers or whatever. You know, you have a couple beers and do it a couple times and get lit and hopefully laid. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Big Daddy getting you laid.
There we go. I'll be the wingman. I was always good at that on tour.
Well, dude, this has been great. Thanks again for doing it. Thanks again for the contest.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Bay.
Absolutely, man. Look forward to meeting you and our new friendship.
Heck yeah, dude. And thanks, absolutely, everyone for watching and listening.
Yeah, man.
We'll cool. See you guys.
Take care.